So that he will bless my soul. He's blessed me so many times and he's continuously blessing me now.
Praise the Lord. Well, I'm like Sister Tally. I'm happy, happy, happy to be back in church. I hated to cancel Sunday services. And of course, I guess you could tell that. I waited till 11 o'clock at night, Saturday night, to do it. But I was almost sure we wouldn't be able to have church Sunday night, so I sure wanted to have church Sunday morning, but I just was afraid that it would be too risky. The parking lot froze like it was, and the road still being bad, so I felt like it's probably the best thing. But anyway, I hated to do it, but it's good. I'm glad that things are thawing out. And I appreciate all of you that are here. I know sometimes on Wednesday nights it's just hard for everybody to make it, you know, with the world we're living in today. Everybody's hustling and bustling and trying to get their day finished out. And then these little cold spells we're having has got different ones down. Brother Mark Boyd's been fighting. I don't know if he's got the flu or the bronchitis or what he's got, but he's got it, doesn't he, Sister Sherry? And Brother Pryor just told me Sister Pryor's sick with a real bad cold. So I know there's others that are sick. It's good to see Sister Elsie out on a Wednesday night. Praise God, Sister Elsie. She just like that ever-ready bunny. She just keeps going and going. Praise the Lord. I appreciate that. And I appreciate these songs. And, you know, singing about our Lord and our relationship with Him. I was thinking while we were singing that about what Jesus said to His disciples before He left this world. You know, He really did bring something not only new but spectacular to this world. To you and I are benefactors of it. When man had failed, somebody sent me an email this week and asked me if Adam had any spiritual mind. After the fall, I said, "Well, he still had the same mind he had before he fell. I'm sure it deteriorated as far as his spiritual sensitivity, but he remembered, no doubt, for quite some time. He remembered. I couldn't see how." But you know, his children ask him about what happened, what took place in the garden. Don't you know they wanted to know all what really happened? And even Judas, when he fell, you know, he knew he did wrong. He went and hung himself, but you know, he still knew. He was aware that he had fell. And he wasn't in the place that Adam was in, but Abel wouldn't have known to offer a blood sacrifice if Adam hadn't explained it to him, I don't think. I don't know where he would have got it. I realize that, you know, there was such thing as prayer, but I know that Adam had that knowledge. He didn't just lose it overnight. It took time. I'm sure as time went on, he did lose his spiritual revelations and the keen awareness of the things of God. But I was just thinking about Jesus and what he brought back to us. When he told his disciples there in John 14, he said the Holy Ghost has been with you, but he shall be in you. And then he said, in that day, speaking of the day of Pentecost, he said, you're going to know that I am in my Father, and my Father's in me, and I in you. And I was just thinking about that scripture while we were singing tonight, and I was thinking about the Jesus being in his Father, what that really means. To really, you know, it certainly didn't mean that he was the same person, but he was so connected. He had a revelation of who his Father was, and he was so connected that he was in order with his Father. He had a knowledge of, you know, God touched him and helped him to have a knowledge and revelation and understanding. And he focused on those things. his relationship with his Father. He said, I always do those things that please my Father. Think about that. He always. Another place he said, I can't do anything. I can't get that right now in my mind, how he's just those exact words, but that it, he was subject to his Father's will, and he wouldn't and couldn't do anything that God hadn't gave him direction on. He was that focused. While we're singing those songs about our relationship with Jesus, I was thinking, God, I'd like to have that kind of relationship. Jesus said, you know, he told his disciples that. He said, my Father's in, I'm in him and he's in me. And until you get enough in him, he's not, another time he said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Wouldn't you like to get so connected to Jesus, this Savior? You know, I'm not talking about just connected your relationship through feeling. I'm talking about through knowledge, seeking him out, seeking the right relationship with how to be connected to him properly, where it always pleases him. Everything you do, everything I do. I'm talking to myself really more than I am y'all. Y'all just get to listen in on it. I'm thinking out loud. That's really the truth. I'm thinking about that scripture. I was thinking about that tonight, and I thought, Lord, I'd like to be in you like you was in your Father. I'd like to be focused and connected. I'd like to have a greater knowledge of what pleases you. I'd like to be able to say, I always do those things and that please my Father. I feel I fall short of that right now, but I still have that desire in my heart. And I know it's going to take getting connected to him well enough that he reveals more to me what really pleases him and gives me the strength and the power of the Spirit to accomplish it, that I want to do it. I don't want to, I don't want to have to serve the Lord. I don't want to have to come to church. I think we ought to just want to, or can't wait. I want us to get to that place. And then him in us. He said, if you abide in me and I abide in you. Well, it takes abiding in him. He's the vine, we're the branches. We're connected to him. We've got to be connected to him. Our sap comes from the vine. We're the ones that are getting what we're getting from him. And it takes that connection to him, and he's made it available to us. Sometimes, I had my pastor in this Wednesday night, and they're just home folks here, so I'm going to tell you all this. C.T. Gray, he was just a country boy, but he was kind of a polished country boy. I loved to hear him preach. He reminded me more of James Souders than any man I've ever met. Their ministry was very much alike. He talked a lot like Brother Souders, even looked like him some. Had that beautiful platinum gray hair, and he was a good-looking man, and had a, he just carried himself with a lot of integrity. And I sat under his ministry for over 10 years. And one Sunday he told us, he said, a cow, he said, almost every cow has when their calf is sucking and getting their milk from its mama, said they're, most cows have four udders. He said a lot of them have a little one, a little hind udder. He didn't call it an udder, but Yeah. But anyway, he got to preaching to us, and he said, I want y'all to know, he said, I think we're all been sucking the hind udder too much. He's just trying to get that across to us that, you know, there's a little bitty. I used to milk cows when I was a boy. We lived on the farm, and so I used to milk. And there, a lot of cows will have a little bitty udder, like a fifth one or even sixth one back in the back, and you could get a little stream of milk out of it. Some of y'all raised up on the farm, Brother Wayne. You ever milked the back udder like that? Well, we had Jersey and Guernsey milk cows, and they had several of them had that. My grandfather Wilk had cows that had a little udder like that, and we had one. Uncle Herman had one. Anyway, but you couldn't get very much milk out of it. And he got, of course, the whole congregation pretty well rolled when he said what he said, because he's really wound up when he said it, you know. But he got his point across. And I think he's right. I think that sometimes we live beneath our privilege in God. I think there's actually more available than what we come up with. Think about what he said. He said, if I'm the vine and you're the branches, but he said, and if you abide in me and I in you, you can ask what you will. Jesus never did ask his Father anything that his Father didn't do it for him. Of course, I know if you're in him, you're going to ask for the right things. But I don't know that, you know, I just think if you please him in everything, that whatever you ask him, you have enough faith to know that he's going to do whatever you ask him to do. That's why you be careful about what you're asking. But think about that, that whatever, you know, my Father, whatever I could ask him, I think we could get more from God than we're getting. I've been working on some of that in my mind, and of course I do realize that he was talking to a group of men, and I know that he meant this for a group of people, a body. He's the head, we're the body, and we're bodies and members in particular, but I don't think we can house, not any one of us can house the fullness of God that was in Christ. That's why I think he said, you know, these things have I done, but greater shall you do. Because it was all housed in him, but he was just one person. But he knew that if it could be in a body and it could work in harmony and in a corporate setting where it would work in order, every member doing what it's supposed to do. Every member connected. Every member working in him. I know that when Paul went through the different facets of the body of Christ, he dealt with every facet of it. Even part that's cast out. Not everything that's in the body stays in the body, but and so the human body is able to utilize everything that's taken in and discard anything that it can't use. And the body of Christ operates like that. But I don't want to just be any part in the body. I want to be a working member that stays, that functions and is a live cell in the body. And I want all y'all to work and function that way, because it's going to take us all together to receive the fullness of God. There's too many gifts in here for any one of us to be able to manifest all of it. But together, think about what the Lord is going to be able to do and what he did in that early church. You can only pick it up just It's just sparse how you pick up in the scriptures of, you know, because we don't have very much information about what took place in all those Jewish churches, all those body of Christ churches among the Jews. We've got the writings of the Gentiles and some workings of the apostles, but we didn't get it very long. You know, and in the book of Acts, just a few chapters there, we got in on the beginnings of what they did, but then the focus turned to the Apostle Paul. And I'm sure the Lord didn't want us to get in on all of that, because we'd probably be trying to do things that we're not ready for yet. But I think we're trying to get ready for them. I think God's getting us to a place that I'm looking for excitement to come back to the church and the things of God to begin to prick our hearts in such a way that it has a greater meaning than anything else in life. And so, anyway, I really didn't feel like I'd talk very long up here, but I just thought I'd maybe get us started. And because I'm glad y'all look good to me. I've been missing y'all. And anyway, have you thought very much about that, what Jesus meant when he said, I'm in my Father and he's in me? And then to think that he said, and you are going to be in us. You're going to be in me and I in you. Of course, you've heard us, you know, over the years talk about Christ in you. That's a hope of glory. When Christ gets formed in you, it takes you working in him, in connection with him, your relationship with him, not by feeling all together. In fact, probably not as much feeling as knowledge. The fear of the Lord's the beginning of knowledge. Knowledge is the beginning of wisdom. It takes some knowledge of Christ, some knowledge of what God's done. I'm going to tell you, I'm glad tonight, I'm thankful tonight that God has revealed some things to this body. I've heard things that I know other people have never heard. He's blessed us. He's graced our lives and our ears with knowledge and understanding and wisdom. He's done something for us that's put us on a different track than most people are on tonight. I'm still glad that I'm here. I'm still glad to be a part of it. Hallelujah. Be a part of this wonderful body of Christ. God's working among us. Don't get discouraged, saints. Times of joy and excitement are going to come back to this body. It's not that we don't have any now. I think we still have good services and have great things, but I know there's more coming. I remember God let some of us. It seemed like there's always somebody in every generation that God touched that generation enough to give them a taste of what he's going to do and what he has done that keeps us reaching out for more and knowing that there's more coming. And so, you know, I'm sure that some of the young ones would like to, you know, I'm sure some of them are thinking, I want to see some of that. Well, I know you still have had some wonderful things in the time that you've been here, but I'm telling you, there are some marvelous things that God's touched this body with that some people in this generation right now haven't seen, felt, or heard. And the Apostle Paul, you know, he told the Corinthians, he said, eye hadn't seen, ear hasn't heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for us. And he said, And they've been revealed to us by the Spirit. They're spiritually discerned. He just meant up until this time, no generation had seen what God was doing among them. And nobody had the revelation of the body. Nobody had the revelation. Nobody housed the nature of the Holy Ghost in their heart, in their life. You know, that's one of the things that we had in the minister's meeting was the last day we heard some things on the nature of Christ. You know, really, I think if you'll just keep it simple enough, and I don't mean that you can't expound on it, but look, we are mortal. Our nature's mortal. And the nature that Christ came here with was an immortal nature. This Holy Ghost nature is immortal. His immortality is working in you. I was in a meeting one time, and one of the brethren was up talking. He said, "I have immortality working in me." One of the other ministers jumped up and said, "No, you're not. You don't have any immortality." Any immortality? He said, "Yes, I do." He said, "I've got the Holy Ghost. That's the immortal nature of God, and it's in me." He said, "I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish my course in it, and for me to keep it or finish in it," but he said, "there's something immortal working in me." I like that. I think he's right about that. The life of God that's in us is an immortal life, and it's the earnest of our inheritance. You've got the earnest of what Christ did. It's the beginning. That's the earnest is the beginning part of what the Lord sent Jesus here to do for you and for me. And to think that he could actually get in us, develop his character, could be developed in us. If we'll stay in him, or we'll work to remain in him, abide, Jesus said. If we'll abide, what's that scripture in the? Maybe I will read a scripture before I take up prayer requests, just real quick. It's been so long since I've preached, I almost forgot how. In the Psalms, the 15th chapter, where David said, "Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle?" That's what I want to do, is abide. We've always looked at this as the early church. They got the abode. They got that abiding place. A place that you could get in him and abide. And he could abide in you. Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? And who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. There's some knowledge for you. Set your focus on those that fear God. Make them your friends and neighbors. And don't connect yourself to a vile person. You young people are to get that in your heart. Don't compromise your life with the world and things of the world and even people of the world. You can love them. Some of them can be your family. But don't, you should you should hate the things of the world, not the people so much. I'm not talking about hating people. Maybe some parts of the characteristics that they picked up in their life, but that's where knowledge of learning how to be connected to Him is, to understand that the things that you're to set your affection on is the things that put you in close connection with God. You don't want to get close to things that pulls you away from that connection, or set your affections on other things. I've seen people do that in their families. I've seen families, blood run so thick that they compromise with their own family. A lot of them are devils, and they can't help themselves. They just make such a compromise with family that their family keeps them from staying connected with God. They'll put their family, their ungodly family, higher than the things of God. A lot of people don't like to hear a man talk like that. But they need to hear it. People need to hear that. They need to hear that you're making a big mistake by setting your affections on things that turns your life away from what pleases God. When you compromise, a lot of people think they're trying to save their family with their compromising, but that's, don't you know your family knows you're compromising? You know what amazes family? They may not like it when you do it, but when you make a stand, when you make a stand for the things of God and you don't waver from that, and you don't let them cause you to waver from that, and you put God above them and everything else. Brother Leninger used to teach it so strong. He used to say, God has to be first in your life, above everything, above your wife, your husband, your children, your family. It has to be number one in your life, above everything. Then he said, then this body has to be number two, the body of Christ. If it's Christ and this is His body, and this is what He's building, and this is His purpose for coming here, that it has to mean more to you than anything else. That's knowledge. That's not working on feeling. Because feeling will cause you to compromise that. You'll compromise. You'll compromise with your husband or your wife or somebody, your family, your children. It don't mean that you're supposed to be mean to them, but it does mean that you're supposed to have... your life needs to be fixed on the things of God. And then he said, your family can come next. And then others. Then others come next. You're last. Just get down on the bottom of the totem pole, he'd say. You have to consider others. Now, that's harder. That gets a little bit hard. When it sounds good, you can spit it out of your mouth pretty easy, but you can't chew it up and swallow it very easy. What I'm talking about is living it. To put others. I try to work on that. I've noticed wives, mothers, let me put it that way, not mothers, it's not hard for mothers to give their children, you know, or even their husband, you know, to give them, to let them, you know, eat the last thing on the table, give them the biggest piece, or not eat if they think they're going to run out, they eat very little, or... That's just mother's love. They just got that much love and nurture for children, for their children and their family. God built that in them some way. But to try to want to bless somebody else, maybe not even somebody you know, just to be good to somebody, Just bless them. Give them a, you know, give up something when you're around them for whatever, you know, I'm not even thinking of a certain situation, but I'm just thinking to put others, to love others. We used to, Brother Gray's church in San Antonio, there was a sister there, Sister Joanne Wagner. And she always, when she sang a song, one of her songs was Others, Lord. Let this my motto be, that I might do serve others. Anyway, I can't remember right now how it goes, but it's an old hymn. Yeah, to be more like thee. But it is a good song. to have a mind for other people, to let the love of God reach out of your life. Those are things that pleases God. Anyway, to abide in Him, and then in the 24th, isn't it the 24th chapter? Or which one is it? Yes. In the third verse of chapter 24, it said, and we've always looked at this as being us. They abode there. They came up in the abode. They was in a place... In God, that was made available to them. We see that place. There's something about, you know, this. When you read the Songs of Solomon, the book of Songs of Solomon, where you see the Shulamite, when there's something happens with her connection with him, her lover. And it's a picture of the church in Christ where she just can't help but focus on Him, focus on what pleases Him, look for everything about Him that she notices that's so great. And she begins to just, you know, everything she's doing is just wooing and trying to please him, trying to find out everything about him that she can. And to me, that's a picture of us down here, that we're coming out of the wilderness and we're learning things about Jesus. We're trying to learn how to woo him into our midst in a greater way, into our lives in a greater way. And so, anyway, I'm still talking to myself if y'all are listening. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who's going to go up there where they were, where they abode? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands. It's going to take a clean ministry, pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor swore deceitfully. That has to do with saying things that, you know, proclaiming things that God's not proclaiming. You know, just our own ideology, our own desires. He'll receive the blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. Everybody say Selah. That means, think about that. This is the generation that seek him, that seeks your face, O Jacob. Hallelujah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. To who? To the generation that's seeking him. It's longing to see him. You read the Songs of Solomon, you can just see, you know, she hears the doorknob rattling. She knows he's there. And When she goes and opens the door, she can smell his perfume. She can smell his cologne. She knows he was there. But she missed him. He's not that easy to woo. He's not just going to settle for anything. And she sees him through the lattices. She knows he's interested in her. And she sees him coming around. My God, don't you know God's interested in you by now? Don't you know the Lord's, he's looked at you. He's looked through the lattices. He's watching you and me. This is a courtship. The Lord's been courting us for some time now. My Lord. And for him to one of these days say, arise, my love, my dove, and come away with me. Or he said, the winter's gone and past. It's not going to be too long, saints. It may be cold naturally right now, but it's warming up spiritually. The Lord's coming nearer to us. These messages that we hear on this, God's not quickening men's minds for this for no reason. But he's quickening it to us. If you can feel the quickening of these kind of messages, that Jesus is coming. He's coming back to his people. Who can ascend? Who's going to go up this hill? Who's going to stand in the holy place? My God, when I think about it. I think about the opportunity. But if I don't get you to think about anything else I've said here tonight, I'd like for you to think about Jesus being in his Father and that you are to be in him. I know he's to be in us, but he's not going to be in us until we are in him. We're going to have to learn how to be connected to him through fear of the Lord. That is reverence, order, the order of God. I'm not talking about, you know, just doing something, a man wants you to do. I'm talking about pleasing the Lord. I know there's an order through his ministry, but let me tell you something. When God gets through building this order, there isn't going to be anything carnal about it. It's going to be a voluntary humility. It's going to be men of God that have found this pathway of being so connected to him that you're going to feel that, see that, and know it's working in them in such a way it's drawing you to follow in that. That's the examples. Christ, he wasn't that mean. He wasn't that mean to his disciples, his people. He lived it before them. And they were so connected to it. They wanted what he had. My Lord, think about it. They, on the day of Pentecost, they didn't know what they was getting into. They didn't know what they had. Brother, when they got it, it started working in them. It started working. It started functioning and operating and bringing fruit. And what they saw in him and felt in him, it was so much, it had such a great effect on them. And then for it to work in them, don't you know they wondered about it? Don't you know they went to bed and wondered, what did he mean? I'm in my Father, and he's in me. Well, they knew something was in him that wasn't in any normal man. Something was working in him. Look, Jesus did. He came down here to be a faithful high priest. He took on a condition that he could relate to what we are going through. He took on an environment and a condition that he could relate. That's how he could be your faithful high priest. He knows where you're at. He knows how this world can pull on you. He knows the fears of man. He knows the influences of the world. He saw it operate in people. He may not have experienced it. He saw it, though. He grew up a little boy. He had temptations with other little boys and other people. The things that goes on in life in general. He experienced that. But there was something in him that wasn't in every little boy. You young people, let me tell you something. There's something in you. There's something in you that's not in everybody that's in this world. It's working in your life. It's God through the Holy Ghost working in you. You'll never get away from that because you're God's chosen. You're part of His chosen people. He chose you. He chose you because you said yes. But He, remember, He called you before you said yes. He saw you. He made His way to you. He made Himself available to you. You said yes. Some of you little ones, you know, you got in on this when you was little bitty. These little ones that come up here, these little, all these young men and young girls, they come up here when they're just children and get the Holy Ghost and get this Holy Ghost in their lives. They don't know what they're getting. They don't know what what's really going on in their life fully. They just know that this is what mom and dad does, and they know it's real. They feel it. It works in them. Let me tell you something. They're the most blessed children on the face of the earth. They're the most blessed children on all of the earth that God would touch their lives. They may grow up and say, "Well, I didn't even get to make a choice." No, you didn't get to make a choice. God made a choice for you, the greatest choice that could be made for anybody in the whole wide world. He made for you because you was available. It was time for you. God saw it was your time. My God, that puts you higher in a higher blessed place. Mary was just a little old girl. I think she was 15 years old, I think, if they've got it right. A little old bitty 15-year-old girl. When an angel came to her, Gabriel, and said, "Blessed art thou among all women on the face of the earth." God has chosen you. My God, she didn't choose that. She probably had very little understanding about what was happening. God chose her. She was blessed. She was blessed. She raised that little boy. What's God, and what's the very Son of God raise up on this earth? Grow up with the Holy Ghost and angels working and dealing with him and God dealing with his life to get him up to a place where God could save the world through what he was working in him. She saw that. She was blessed with that. It worked in her womb when she carried him. It worked something in her life. She was blessed. My God, the very same Holy Ghost and Spirit of God that was working in Mary's womb is working in your life today. God has called you and I. He's gave something to you and I. He poured something out upon you and I. Hallelujah. He called us. He chose us. Hallelujah. And he's given us life tonight. What a blessing. What a God. Gave us just a glimpse into this next generation, this next happening, what he's going to do. He let us in on it. We're not worthy. There's not one of us worthy of it. But his mercy and his grace has reached down and touched our lives. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, God, my God. What an opportunity. What a blessing. There's a generation that's going to stand in the holy place. They're going to ascend. They're going up. And they're going to dwell. They're going to abide. Once again, hallelujah. the generation that seeks Him. Oh, God, let's seek Him a little more, saints. Let's let God become so much a part of our lives that people have to come see. They have to come see about it. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm happy. I'm preaching myself happy. I just felt normal when I got here. I'm feeling above normal now. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Well, let me get down from here. Let's receive the prayer request. Sister Pat Authors is still alive. She hadn't had anything to eat and hadn't hardly been conscious for over 2 weeks. Hadn't ate anything in over 2 weeks. Just a little sip of water every once in a while. I don't know how she's still alive. But it seems obvious to me that the Lord's going to take her. God, He is able to lift her right up. I was thinking the other day about that woman, that little woman, you know. Her son died and they had his funeral and they was walking down the street in a funeral procession. Jesus was standing there and walked out and raised that boy from the dead right out there. He's already dead and then they was taking him to bury him. Y'all remember reading that in the Bible? And he went out there and just healed, just resurrected him. Somebody is going to see that. Somebody's going to see those things happen. It may be one of us. I'm thinking it could easily be one of us. I'm asking the Lord to... Of course, I haven't got to the place the Shulamite yet got to when she said, "Wake not my beloved till he be pleased." The older I'm getting, I'm trying to get him to come on. Let's get some of this going. But really, I'll be honest with you. There's enough right now. If you move up to one of those udders that has all the milk in it, if you'll just move up a little bit and decide that I'm going to get more of Him. There's more available today. You don't have to wait for more of the church to be restored for you to get more of Him. Just seek Him. Just do what He did. Just learn how to be in Him like He was in the Father. Seek Him. I'm telling you, you can get a hold of God in a way that'll defy everything that this world has to offer. It'll defy everything that nature has to offer. That's available today. There ain't ever been a generation in this Bible that somebody didn't find a place in God that was greater than anybody in that generation had ever seen. And it's available to us if we'll find it. We'll look for it. I forgot I was going to take up offering. I mean, prayer request and offering. Sister Pat. That's what I wanted to say. Pray for her. Brother, Sister Elsie, keep praying for her. She may just walk in here in one of these services and run out of here. Healed. Yeah. Brother Henry. Son, he's been suffering. Let's pray for him. Brother Ron Johnson. He's going to go see his wife in the morning, but he'll be back Sunday. They found some places, I think in her lungs, wasn't it? Spots on her lungs that they don't feel good about. She's already went back to Seattle and they're doing more tests on her. And let's keep praying for Brother Ron. I got a text this week from Brother Arthur. Pray for him. He's reaching out to us, Brother Arthur Vaughn. He hit a bump But we're encouraging him to get up and go again. Go again. That's the only answer. When you hit a bump, you just got to keep going. You fall down, you just got to get back up. Well, keep praying for him. Pray for Brother Arthur Vaughn. I asked him to come on back. He said, I said, we need you. He said, all right. I'm going to do it. So pray God would touch him again. And Brother Mark Boyd, I mentioned, is sick. Sister Jody Pryor is sick. What else tonight? Who else? Sister Cindy? Sarah Keeler, all right, remember that. We've got a young lady that works for hospice that's been coming to help take care of my mother. And Ann asked Mom if she wanted to come to church with us tonight. Of course, she couldn't have came, but she asked her anyway. And she said, no, she said, I think I'll just lay here and rest. Every once in a while, she thinks she can do anything, you know. But anyway, this young lady that's been coming in as a nurse's aide, Mom really likes her. She's really good to take care of Mom. Well, this past weekend, her mother, she lives with her mother, and her mother coded and passed away. So I'd like for you to remember that. Young lady's mom. What's her name? Melissa, but it's her mama. Remember her. I told them we'd be praying for them. Eshan, yes, he's been, I didn't even know he was sick. Also, brothers, Jacob Durham's really been sick this past week or so. I've got a customer, too, that bought a dog off of me. That put a deposit on a dog, and she just found out that her husband has a terminal disease. And I told her, I said, we'll pray. Pray for him that God will heal him from that. And she asked that we do that. So if you would remember, her name's Jill Jackson, her husband. Brother Mike. Sister Julie. All right, remember her. Brother and Sister Crow, yes. Keep remembering them. Brother Daniels? All right. His son, Jacob. Sister Ann? Brother Paul had to work late tonight. Sister Karen? What else? All right. Alex. Remember her. All right, if the ushers have come, Sister Elsie. All right, Sister Elsie's been falling here lately quite a bit. So, yeah, she hurt herself real bad recently. She's suffered a lot of pain for it. So let's remember her. All right. Let's all stand and ask God to meet these needs here tonight. Oh, Jesus, precious Savior. Oh, God, we love you tonight, Lord. Help us, oh, God, Lord, to abide in you in a greater way, Father. Oh, Jesus, let us walk close with you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, these needs, Lord. God, they're in your hands. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed Lord, God, touch Sister Pat. Sister Jenny and Dwight and the family, Lord. Help them, God. I know you're able, Lord, more than able, to meet the need and heal and give miracles. We're just going to rest in your will, Lord. Have your will, O God, in all these things. Hallelujah. Oh, God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed Lord, God, touch this assembly. Our needs, oh, God, help us. This body. Oh, Jesus, God, help us learn how to work greater in you, Lord. Oh, shalabakori andalaramahaya. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Blessed Lord, blessed Lord. Oh, Lamb of God, Lamb of God. Hallelujah. All right, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God.
Oh.
God. All right, give him a praise before you go home. Hallelujah. Precious Savior, hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus, hallelujah. All right, see you Sunday. Sunday's dinner day. We changed it because of the ice storm, so this Sunday's dinner day. See you then. God bless.